Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. My guest today is mezzo-soprano and vocal performance artist Alicia Hall Moran, a singer at home in opera, art, theater, or jazz. She made her Broadway debut as Bess in the revival of the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess and later toured the U.S. in that role. But the main thrust of her work has been in creating and collaborating with a number of artists, notably her husband, jazz pianist Jason Moran, but also visual artist Carrie Mae Weems, choreographer Bill T. Jones, and jazz artists Bill Frisell and Charles Lloyd, to name a few, to create interesting artistic and musical events. Here's a cut from her latest album, Here Today, the Anthony Newley Leslie Brickus song, Feeling Good, as reimagined by Hall Moran.
Birds flying high.
That's music by my guest today, Alicia Hall Moran, who will bring her latest performance piece, Black Wall Street, to Tulsa tomorrow night at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center with husband Jason Moran, the band Harriet Tubman, and Slave Relic Museum curator Jean Alexander Peters. They'll be performing the work, which was not inspired by Tulsa's Greenwood District, as you might think, but by her father, one of the first black financiers to work on Wall Street, who was born and raised here in Oklahoma. Alicia Hall Moran is my guest today here on Studio Tulsa. Alicia Hall Moran, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich.
As I understand this piece, Black Wall Street, actually started as a tribute to your father, and it refers to a Black Wall Street that would be very different than the ones Oklahomans would think of, and of course that would be Greenwood. How did this project begin?
Well, my father moved to New York City specifically with the aim to work on Wall Street and to take all of his great mathematical knowledge. He just, you know, has one of those brains that's excellent with numbers, and he worked hard, and he had so much family support, and everyone got behind him, and he made this move after college to come to Manhattan and work on Wall Street, which for a black man in the 1970s was not a well-traveled road.
He was breaking barriers as well.
He was one of the many. He wasn't the very first, and we know as soon as we get into this kind of history, we've always realized we're not the first. There were always people before us, and they're sometimes isolated in these longer narratives, but he was one of the many. And over time, as we collect the stories looking back and during his life, as he collected colleagues and mentors and also people to be a mentor to, now we're looking at an entire universe. But at the time, that's just my dad, like a black guy, Morgan Stanley, L.F. Rothschild, Unterberg, and Tobin, really making his name.
But at some point, I guess this project morphed. It started out as a song, I guess, right?
Yeah, I just had gotten to a point where I realized if I was going to write songs and bring more of my classical voice into content that was about right now and the life I was actually living, that I would have to be honest that as much as I revere the blues, as much as I grew up around the sounds of Motown or from the continent of Africa, like Hugh Masekela and Miriam Makeba, this is the kind of music my parents listened to, also, you know, but like also Lionel Richie and Michael Jackson. As much as I had felt that I was a part of the world of soul music and black music, the story of the life I was actually living had a kind of a corporate Wall Street, tennis, skiing lessons, ice skating lessons, soundtrack to it. Those were really the places where I was. So mythologically and ancestrally, And in terms of my lineage, absolutely, there's the southern United States. But I was growing up in Connecticut, and so I had to be honest that blackness is not defined outwardly in. It's really, I say I'm a black person. Where am I? Who am I? What am I doing? This is a black life also. And so to try to just make a small space in music with its own repertoire that finds a way to authentically connect to the real life I'm living so that I can validate who I am and then give that to my children, as well as this wealth of the Motown and the Diana Ross and pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps and these kinds of ideas that make all people great.
As this project began to morph into a larger story, what were the stories you wanted to tell?
Well, first of all, just the physical look of my parents going to work every day is a business suit, tie for my dad, and I always have to say these Johnston and Murphy shoes, these businessman shoes, you know, and he would polish them on Sundays in front of the television. But so just starting right there. So in terms of stereotype, a black man polishing shoes, that's absolutely has been a viable ways of earning a living.
That's an image that goes back 100 years.
Absolutely. Yeah. And was a major avenue for people to have their own businesses and to also be flexible and pliant within all kinds of structures, economic hardships, and then also the additional pull of Jim Crow. So you don't want to erase things just because you also want to expand beyond them when you understand what people sacrifice.
Yeah.
What they sacrifice. And I say the same thing. I know I'm switching subjects, but women singing, a black woman singing, a black woman singing her blues, a black woman opera singer, a black woman singing the spirituals, or we say, like, in a stereotype, oh, they're going to start their moaning again. But, like, we need those things. And my mother, who is a publisher and an editor, has been an angel for me in my work, for forcing me to understand from a very young age that though people might disparage you via their stereotypes or the stereotypes of us, that also much of our valuable material is locked in and tied up and twisted inside and out with those stereotypes as well, so that if you throw the baby out with the bathwater, you're going to be left with very little, plus the feeling, the isolating and terrifying feeling that you are inventing yourself, which you never, ever are. And so the way that I've gone into the music and the reason why I knew I could make songs about somebody's blues, the 2 train to Wall Street, why that's okay, a midnight train to Georgia, or wherever, you know, Route 66. Like,
right.
We get to the places the way we get to the places, but so many of the great songs are just when you say, you know what, for me it's not about Mississippi, it's about Chicago. You know what, hey, it's not about Chicago, I actually don't know anything about that. I was raised in Newark, New Jersey. Hey, guess what? I don't even get any soul out of it. I'm going to show the world that I grew up in Connecticut in this large brick house, but that I'm not from no people, and I'm not from no soul, and that my journey inward to it in myself and backward and then also expanding from it in the ways I decide whenever I get to that new place, like I did a musical thing about figure skating as being a black girl who loved to ice skate and figure skate. But then when you get to that place of serious discovery of it, you find all of these people. And so I just had a skating session with Saria Bonaly, the French national champion in Minnesota, where she coaches some half the year. And I got to sing my love for the Olympic bronze medalist Debbie Thomas, who's another skater, African descended, if you want to call it that. She's a black American woman. You know, there are just so many people in all of these spaces where we're not supposed to be, but yet there we are.
I was going to ask you about Breaking Ice because I think that actually premiered this winter at a skating rink in New York City, and it was telling the story of Debbie Thomas, who I guess as a youngster you watched her compete against Katarina Witt, and they were both performing to Carmen, right?
Yes. And two women wore the same dress to the prom. Can you imagine? And they are fierce competitors and brilliant role models, each in their own in the sport. So, you know, my piece also, you know, was begun as a workshop, just as this Black Wall Street began as a workshop, a bunch of ideas into which I plowed a lot of music and words and also other music, great music from the world of music, to tell a story in a patchwork. But my thing has had to be, because I don't look down on it, my thing always is entertainment first. Mm-hmm. So when Prototype Festival approached me, that's an opera festival, if you can imagine, right? So how wonderful that somebody out there is giving money to some people who want to put on new operas in also these strange locations so that the public can naturally rub against people singing in their head voice. So I was assigned, because I had this ongoing piece about the ice, to bring that to public skating sessions. Their challenge was public skating sessions, and through their muscle as an institution, I was allowed to sing on the ice with my musicians, also on the ice, with their instruments, in skates, during a public session where the people were not coached in any way, with additional choreography by the Ice Theater of New York and their director, Moira North. So who had seen the work when it was a workshop, kind of almost by accident, and then by her effort? So it's like I kind of come from an art world where the people involved in it are just doing it because they love it. There's no money in going to see random ladies sing about their love affair with the ice, or sing about their parents getting dressed up in suits and putting Stevie Wonder to it and trying to work it out where I came from and how I got here. There's no that kind of, these people like Ken Tracy from Corgis in Tulsa, who's bringing the work here to Oklahoma. There's no way to express my gratitude that these people in positions of being able to envelop and present art and represent art, that they have eyes out and they go see things. It's not like I applied for this. There's no application that I filled out. I just was busy going about putting out who I am with musicians who are brave enough to follow me in these journeys. And then people who are out there, they find us and they put us where they think we belong and can happen to be in Brooklyn at National Sawdust because they do great music. And he was working with someone there on another project. But he happened to see me because he is curious. And he said, this work doesn't just need to be in Brooklyn. It really needs to be in Oklahoma. And that's really why I'm here. I'm so grateful.
And of course, we have a very different definition of Black Wall Street than what this piece started, because it's Greenwood and the race riot and everything that's happened since, and the rebuilding and once again rebirth that it's going on today. That's a big part of our story, but it's also part of this larger story that you're trying to tell. But before I want to hear some music for the, you'll be performing here as well. I think you might have done it in Breaking Ice as well. But first I want to ask you, when you're doing this piece like this in a public skating session and you have, I assume you have people just going around in a circle like they do in the public, what was the reaction as you're doing this piece? I mean, obviously
people
you were probably in
it.
The moment, but you had to look out for how people were experiencing it.
Yes. Well, you know, maybe it didn't get said, but my father was born in Oklahoma City. my grandparents went to Langston. My grandmother was born in Eufaula. My grandfather was born in Colbert. We are Oklahomans.
Right.
So the thing about getting to Connecticut is what I've been kind of doing in my music. But I can easily tell you that the experience of being center ice with this microphone as black woman singing opera and using all my skating lessons my parents gave me as a child and also my experience singing on a synchronized skating team in high school, the idea that I would use my skill on the ice to then have it be a platform during one of the biggest music festivals in New York City is not like a plan to have. And so my father, coming from Oklahoma and then going to Stanford University to study engineering, why? Because he said, well, what's the hardest major I could take? And they said electrical engineering. And he said, well, that's what I will do. These are not good ideas.
I think they worked out.
Ambitions.
Yes, they
and
are.
And these are a path and a network of love and agreement that if I give you this assignment, your curiosity and your integrity will lead you to the next best thing to do with what you learn when you get there. But I can't tell you what it'll look like when you get there. You just have to be in process. And my father got sent to New York by Mr. Hewlett and Mr. Packard, who were people starting up Hewlett Packard at the time that my father was graduating with his electrical engineering degree, and then he got an MBA also in Stanford. This is in Northern California. They recommended to him, a young, talented black man, hey, civil rights laws are changing, and new industries are going to be opening up, and you have the skills we think they need on Wall Street, and you should go for it. And so I feel like on the ice, that map of like, no, I can go there. I have a lot of faith in myself to go places where I don't know what's going on, but I do respect people in their home. I do keep my eyes open for people who need me. I keep my heart open for people who can help me. And what we all want really is to be whole. And so I find it very hard to connect to people who want to deal in a lot of detail, essentially. I'm more about, did you say you would show up? Okay, then show up. Did we say we would do this for this person? Well, let's just get it done. And the how and wherefore, I don't always have, but I have a habit, just like Ken Tracy of Corrigus, who is bringing us here with his production company, or just like the Moira North or Prototype Festival, who are just out there looking for people who skate and do stuff or who sing opera and do stuff. They're busy looking for us. So if we stay true to ourselves, then we can answer the needs of people who need us to come someplace and do something. All I do is sing. But in order to do the kind of singing I want to do, I have to wear hats of other areas. And all those other areas are only work. It's only work to train your voice classically. It's only work to prepare proposals for yourself and arrange your own tours and negotiate contracts and fees all on your own with institutions. It's on you to figure out how to show up and figure out how you can give to an audience something that magnifies your best intentions. It just is work. But this is a work I'm really proud to get to do. So I know you asked me about the ice, but it's kind of just like when you meet people with the right intention, it is incredible the interactions you can have. I have seen it so many times, and I have a faith in it. So here I am to tell a story about breadcrumbs leading back to a place, but it's for the people in the place to show me what is so rich here. I only have a fantasy about it.
Right.
And my summers here, you know, those summers are about watermelons and cousins and fried chicken and, these stereotypes, right? We go to church and my little cousins all have lace on their socks and little pigtail, like every stereotype. But then at the end of the day, what I remember, that is what is important.
My guest today is Alicia Hall Moran, a mezzo-soprano, a singer, and I would call you a vocal performance artist in many ways. She'll be presenting her show, Corgus Production is presenting Black Wall Street, Thursday evening at 7 at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center's Williams Theater. She's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. You mentioned your father. I should mention his name, Ira Hall Jr. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that name is a name many Oklahomans will know from his father, Ira Hall Sr., who was a noted black educator and civil rights pioneer in the state, went to court challenging restrictive covenants in Oklahoma City in the 40s and later helped desegregate neighborhoods in Oklahoma City as a realtor later in life. Your latest album is titled Here Today, and I know you're going to be doing a lot of tunes as a part of Black Wall Street. I'd like to hear, let's play a little of a tune. And this is, again, goes back to this Breaking Ice as well as the Black Wall Street. This is a very amazing arrangement you've done of Sign, Seal, Deliver, I'm Yours by Stevie Wonder, morphed and melded with Bizet's Carmen's Habanera. It really works well. Let's hear that. Here's the music of Alicia Hall Moran here on Studio Tulsa.
Like a fool, I went and stayed too long. Now I'm wondering if your love's still strong, baby. Here I am, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. And that time I went and said goodbye, now I'm back and not ashamed to cry, baby. Here I am, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours.
Music of my guest today, Alicia Hall Moran, who will be performing that tune and many others in her showcase Black Wall Street Thursday evening at 7 at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center's Williams Theater. That comes from your latest album, Here Today, which really has a variety of original tunes as well as some arrangements, some really interesting arrangements of God Bless the Child, a couple other tunes. Tell me a little bit about that album. Is this going to be the basis for the show, a lot of the show?
It absolutely is. And the cover artwork by Amy Sherald, or rather a painting by Amy Sherald, she generously allowed me to use as the cover work for my album, All American. And this man, rodeo man, black cowboy hat, American flag shirt, symmetrical stance, the denim jeans, this wonderful belt buckle. That's the fantasy for me. That's everything I'm reaching for, which is that whatever you slap on your chest is something you stand up inside of, and it's a symbol for you to reach for more from yourself while trying to understand how when we reach for ourselves, we must make sure that we are not taking too much from somebody else. We're not taking too much from the earth that we have no idea how to put back. You know, these are like real blessings, these kinds of assignments of work. Because, of course, you know, your husband or wife brings food to the table, and then you got these kids there, and they're hungry, and it's like, well, who's going to get... We have to divide things up. And so many of... And how does that happen? And so many of the songs on the record are about survival, except the survival for my dad and my nuclear family was my parents making these journeys, zigzagging the country for the best opportunities for the life they wanted to live and the freedom to do so, very basically, and the freedom to get the tools. So I have songs with names like Higher, you know, We Go Higher.
Yeah.
I have songs like Gold. We're the gold, right? But gold is sold and traded. How and when and by whom? And how do we reconcile that with our past history? We all just live in the world, and the world is like honey. But
yeah.
You can't just put your head in the jar. We all have to live in the hive, and the hive has money. And these are the kinds of lyrics that I'm writing.
I love that
I really
tune, by the way.
Think about money. We can talk about stealing. We can talk about taking. We can talk about a lot of things. But if we don't talk about what our honey means to us, then we're going to miss a lot of things. And we're also going to miss what honey means to the other person. So I try to be sensitive to that. I sing a lot of spirituals on the record that I've worked out with this amazing band, ironically, who call themselves Harriet Tubman. It's Brandon Ross on guitar, who lends so much also to my arrangement of God Bless the Child, or our arrangement, I should say,
yeah.
And Roundabout the Mountain. And J.T. Lewis, incredible drummer. And, you know, he plays for people like, you know, Vanessa Williams and stuff, like around the world. But then also these avant-garde jazz ensembles, and he has a long history in jazz. Also Melvin Gibbs on bass guitar. And so in this kind of rock, jazz, avant-garde world way, we're looking for a pathway into the songs like Two Wings, which you can hear in any church on any Sunday. And our versions come from Roland Hayes. They're the ones we're looking at when we do it. Roland Hayes, because of my Black Wall Street project, I will explain him as a really incredible slave descended, then middle class Boston socialite, incredible singer and musician and arranger who really paved the way for a career like Marian Anderson's or Paul Robeson. And so he's my like little East Coast saint looking over the proceedings here. And then I do a lot of original songs, but then Feeling Good, Nina Simone's amazing version, is so important to the record, because as a song about the air you breathe and the butterflies and the dragonflies having fun, you know what I mean. She's talking about the nature, river running free. So it's a freedom, blossom in the tree. Oh, I mean, I get chills. This is a song from Broadway. She did not write the song.
Yeah,
but once she sang the song, that's a whole other song now.
We are looking forward to the Black Wall Street and hearing your music. It's going to be a great experience. Alicia, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Vocalist Alicia Hall Moran speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. Gorgas Production presents her piece Black Wall Street tomorrow evening at 7 at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center's Williams Theater. She'll be appearing with her husband, jazz pianist Jason Moran, the band Harriet Tubman, and Slave Relic Museum curator Gene Alexander Peters. For more information on the production, visit corgus.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. Here's an original song by Alicia Hall Moran.
We all just live in the world, and the world is unmade. And you can't just stick your head in the jar. We all just live in the hive, in the hive.